Good evening. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, amen. As I was sitting there, I guess I can kind of understand where Brother Brooks be coming from when he get up here after sitting in front of Brother Teamer with that deep voice. I had to kind of pause a little bit because I thought it was me. And then right next to me, Brother Arthur there singing, I thought I had improved in my harmony a little bit. So, you know, those brothers can definitely sing over there. But first and foremost, I would like to thank God for his mercy and grace on this evening, for allowing me to see another day. Amen. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. And for we know that God blesses us at times, not because of how good we are, but because of how good God is. Yes, sir. And next, I would like to thank our ministers here and the leadership for this opportunity to share God's word with you. And I also would like to thank each of you for your support on yesterday for the memorial service, all the well wishes and the prayers. We definitely appreciate that and the loss of my sister-in-law, and it helps. So thank you for all the love you've shown. And you may be here today and not a member of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that something said on this hour will prick your hearts and have you examine yourselves and ask, what must I do to be saved? And if you wasn't here on this afternoon, there were several baptisms of teenagers. And it was touching to see that. And two of those baptisms were my nieces. And so I can honestly call them my sister in Christ now. So I'm thankful for that. And it is, you know, my charge and my obligation to make sure that they stay grounded. Amen. In the word. Amen. And we know that being a Christian requires obedience and being baptized into Christ. But we also have to be true with who we are and where we are. And we must also know that God does not dwell with us when sin is present in your life. And Christianity starts by hearing the old story of the gospel. And that can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And we must believe that gospel. Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we must repent of our sins, the wrongdoings that we know that's in our lives. Luke 13, 3, except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. And then we must confess, as the eunuch did in Acts, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And after that confession, we have to complete our obedience and being baptized and added to the one true church that you can read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And Christianity starts with the process of that obedience and continual obedience until your time in this life has ended. But what is life? Life is defined as a series of functional activities preceding death. And sometimes we take this life or dysfunctional activity before death for granted. See, you know, thinking we have more time at it. But we must start taking life or dysfunctional activity more serious in our daily walk and realize that this life or dysfunctional activity is a gift. And someone once pointed out to me that since life is a gift, that's why we call the now time present. Amen. It is a gift that God's keep giving to see how we value it by the functional activity that we choose to participate in. But how do we get this thing right when we live in a world that is so sick and full of evil and full of sin that's around us? And we often hear about the abundance of evil that is prevalent in the world today. I'm sure you see it around you. But how do we fix this? Okay. And if you don't mind, I will share a story that once helped me realize how to put this question into perspective. Okay. And this story was about a little boy. This little boy would often ask his dad for some of his time to play with him when his dad would make it home from work. But his dad would be so exhausted, and he would say, "Not now, son. I'm hungry." So he would go eat. "I'll play with you later." But after the dad left work, and when you eat, you know, in the next few minutes, he was asleep. So the son went in there, saw his dad sleep, and didn't bother him. This went on for a few days. And so the son was like, "Okay, on Saturday, dad doesn't have to work, so I'll get to play with dad on Saturday." But Saturday came, and dad had big plans to watch the football game that was coming on. So the son approached him like, "Dad, can we play now?" So the dad got a little tired of kept putting him off, so he took this poster that he had out of this magazine, and he ripped it up into pieces. And he said, "Here, son, help me put this back together." It was a picture of the world. He said, "Help me put this back together." So he figured that that would buy him some time to watch the game. The little boy went away. He came back about 10 or 15 minutes later. And he said, "Look, Dad, I did it." He had the picture put back together. And the dad looked puzzled. And he said, "How did you do that so quick?" He said, "Well, first, I started trying to put the pieces of the world together. But then I noticed on the back, it was a picture of a man. So I focused on putting the man together, and then it all came together." So the point that I'm saying is sometimes that we look at the world around us and we tend to look at the world and not focus on the man. And that man is each of us individually. Sometimes we got to pick up the pieces in our lives and make sure we put our lives in perspective and according to the will of God. It's not always the world that's broken. It's the people that's in it. And if we focus more on that, then each of our contribution can make it a little bit better in this world. And see, and if we focus on that and we shape our character, and see, our character is shaped based on the influences that we choose to live by. And see, and for my scripture for the hour is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
"Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us."
Okay. Now, see, the writer here in Hebrews 12, he was just acknowledging the fact in Hebrews 11 of how important faith was. He went through Hebrews chapter 11 reminding the Christians of the faithful Christians that endured the race and how their faith helped them get through it. And see, the writer reminded them in the previous chapter of how important faith is. So he is saying here that wherefore. So because of what he had already explained to them, he was saying wherefore. So for this reason, and he goes on to say that we are also compassed or surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This cloud of witnesses was the examples that was set before us. Romans 15:4 said that things that are written aforetime was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. See, we have many Christian examples in the Bible that testifies that how we should be living this life. And he goes on to say that, let us lay aside every weight, not some of it. He says, let us lay aside every weight. And
the sin which does so easily beset us.
The sin that so easily beset us. And this stuck out to me here. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. But what is a weight? A weight is something that holds you down. It burdens you. And beset, what is beset? It's something you struggle with. It's a trouble. Or it's something that poses a threat to us, a hindrance. And as Christians, we have to learn to put away these hindrances or things that distract our focus and take our obedience from God. It distracts us from our obedience to God. So what is your weight? Or what is your sin that trouble you? What is that sin that easily beset you? It is that sin that you are aware of. It's that sin that you constantly go back to. See, the writer is saying that we have to get rid of some things. And sometimes those things can be people that you are around. And sometimes it can just be your own selfish desires to please your own self, self-gratification. So whatever it is that hinders your obedience to God, we have to get rid of it. In James 1:21, the Bible says, wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So he says that we have to get this weight off of us. We have to get rid of the sin that easily beset us. We have to lay aside all this filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And when I think about this, it's like planting that seed if you have a garden. You have to remove the dirt out the way to make it clear. And then you put the seed in. And that way that seed can flourish. It's the same with our Christianity. Sometimes we got to get the dirt and the filthiness out of our lives and out of our minds. And then we can receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But sometimes until we get that dirt out of our lives, we can't focus like we should on God. And so he says we have to lay aside these things. And as a Christian, if we see our brothers or sisters in error, it is our responsibility to restore them. And the Bible, Jesus spoke, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And sometimes when people just tell you about yourselves, you don't want to hear it. But if they are speaking through the word of God, it's truth. And he says, the truth shall make you free. So this word can get us right if we just be willing to submit to it. And he goes on to say,
and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
See, a runner won't go on or go home and put on some heavy clothes before he go to a race because it's gonna weigh him down. A runner won't eat a huge meal before he go do that 5K, Brother Stroud, will he? Because it's going to weigh him down. And see, they don't; these runners don't want the unnecessary burdens to hold them down during the race. And as Christians, we got to be cautious of what's around us that's holding us down, that'll prevent us from this race. And he says, let us run with patience. We have to have patience. But we can't get to where we're going. We can't run walking. And we can't walk standing. See, we have to be in motion at all times, pressing towards the mark. See, we have to start now with removing all the things that has a potential harm to hinder us. And again, I ask, what is your weight? What is your sin that has your soul in jeopardy? Is it what you're listening to? Is it the company that you're around? I mean, what is our radio station on in the car? Do you jam 97.9 on the way to church and then come up in here to get a word? You're singing that stuff right here. So where is your mind at? Where is your mind? Is your weight or your sin backbiting or gossiping? What is your weight? Only you and your God. No, because you can dress up like a Christian and come up in here and fool me, but you can't fool our God Almighty. And see, and if you're not careful, it is easy to get caught up in the wrong things. Sins offer instant gratification at times. And if you don't take it serious, your soul can be in jeopardy. And we know Romans 6:3 says the wages of sin is death. So why do you keep running back to the same old sin? Do you believe it? 1 John 3:8 says sin is of the devil. And brothers and sisters, we are indeed running a race. We are running towards one of two places. And that's either heaven or hell. And sometimes in a race, you get tired. But verse 2 in Hebrews 12 tells us what to do when we get tired during this race.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
See, he's saying don't be distracted. Don't get caught up in the weight. He says, take it off. Don't be troubled by the sin. Get it right. How? He said, by looking unto Jesus. He's the mark. If we're looking unto Jesus, the weight is going to fall off and the sin will become less. Because he is the author. He made this race possible for each of us. And he is the finisher. And for his race, he knew he would be despised. Yes, sir. In his race, he knew he would be ridiculed. And in his race, he knew he would be beaten and scorned. Yes, sir. And during his race, he knew that he would be shamed. So why did he do it? He did it for me. And he did it for you. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And we don't want to put him first in our lives. We can live this life one or two ways, with God or without God. Sometimes we try to get it right without God. But if you keep trying to get it right without God and it ain't got any better, won't you try life with God? But sometimes we can have our pride in a way and be stuck in our ways. And I wouldn't want to take that chance. And my heart has kind of has been heavy. Just looking at how many funerals that I've been attended, and I look around at my friends and my family that's living life how they want to live. And I can preach to them till I'm blue in the face. And that might be hard. But it just seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. But what we have to do is continue to live a righteous life in front of them. Because Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So we have to continue to live our life that's pleasing to God. And it won't be the most popular thing. Because sometimes, depending on what your crowd look like, they probably don't look like you. They're not doing the things that you do. They don't see what you see. But we got to keep the faith and press towards that mark, because we have something that they need to know. And our life is a living epistle, because they watching. They going to watch. They not going to talk about the good that you do. They going to try to find a flaw in you. And then make that be the reason why they won't come to church with you. And they often bring up your past. Yes, sir. To say what you used to do. But look at me now. Yeah. Back in the days, a few years ago. Never mind, I'm going to leave that alone. But Paul tells us to look at the examples. And we can learn from them, these men and women of faith, despite the obstacles that they faced, despite the trials that they went through, they finished the race. Yeah. And we can do the same thing. And this race, it's about patience. This race, you have to have endurance. And when I think of a race, and most of you know that my son runs track, so when I think of a race, before he races, I'm making sure that he's eating right, so he can have the right carbs. It's the same application to our Christianity. We are in a race. We got to make sure that we feed our spiritual being right so that we can endure. Because sometimes in this race, you grow weary. Just like a runner. When he's running that mile, maybe on that third lap, I see his tempo starting to slow down a little bit. But then he's reminded, this is why I train. So he might hear daddy say, work. The tempo speed up. It's the same in our Christian walk. But instead of dad that's hollering work, it's us as a church that's hollering, keep going when you're feeling weary. Then you think about that I fed myself enough spiritual food. I got what I need. I just have to keep pressing towards the mark. I have to keep pushing towards the finish line. Yes, sir. And in this race and the course at hand, sometimes the race will have hills. That means there will be highs and there will be lows. And sometimes in the race, there will be many obstacles. You might have a hurdle to jump that'll make you a little more weary. But you gotta keep going. And then sometimes during this race, you may not know exactly what your path is, and you might divert a little bit. But you gotta realize that and get back on the course. And in closing, is the race you running or the life you live impeded by sin? Is the life you live impeded by constantly doing evil? Because see, sin is a distraction by the devil, and he is the father of it. The sin that easily besets you, don't let that sin put you in the wrong race to the wrong finish line. But be thankful for our Lord Jesus, who died for those sins, who hung on the cross and shed his blood. He was buried in the tomb and he rose again the third day. Because of that, we still have hope with each breath of life. So be thankful. Today, we still have time to render obedience to God's word. And doing evil, that's E-B-I-L, is sin, which leads to death. Repent and spell it backwards so you can L-I-B-E, so you can live. There may be someone here today that know that your life is not in line with the word of God, that you may be struggling with some things on this hour. Just know that now is the accepted time of salvation, because tomorrow is not promised. And God says that I will forgive you if you confess your sins, and I will remember them no more. He says, I will forgive you. And if you need prayer, or if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, now is the accepted time for salvation. First, you got to hear that gospel, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe that gospel, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then you must repent. We often hear that you got to do a 360. But now when you do a 360, you turn it right back to where you was at. You have to do a 180. Because except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then we got to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we complete our obedience to the Lord by being baptized and added to his church. And if there's anyone here today that is subject to the Savior's invitation, while you still breathe in life, take this time, take this present now time to get your life back right with God as we together stand and sing a song of invitation.